This is a recording for the Melanie Carpenter teleconference with iAdvise, Thursday, April 27th, 2017, scheduled for 12 p.m. Central Time. Good morning. My name is Chantel, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Alimentia Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's opening remarks and introductions will be given at that time. I will now turn the conference over to Patricia Cruz with iAdvise. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chantel. Good day, everyone, and welcome to Alimentia's first quarter 2017 earnings conference call. This call is for investors and analysts only. Joining us today from Mexico City are Mr. Fernando Ruiz Jack, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Juan Francisco Sanchez Kramer, Chief Financial Officer and Interim Investor Relations Officer. They will be discussing the company's recent transactions and performance as per the earnings release issued yesterday after the close. If you did not receive the report and need a copy of the release, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3694, and we will email you immediately. Or go to Alimentia's website, www.alimentia.com, under the Investor Relations section. Let me remind you that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they are based on information that is currently available. Please refer to the earnings release for a more detailed and full disclaimer. Also, all figures discussed are in Mexican pesos unless otherwise stated. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Fernando Ruiz Jax, Chief Executive Officer of Alimentia, to begin with the main highlights and a strategic overview. Fernando, please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Patty. And welcome everyone. Thank you for being with us today to discuss Alimentia's first quarter 2017 results and our expectations for 2017. Before jumping into the first quarter operating results, I would like to talk about three very important steps we took at Alimentia. Every year, we have to be a different, better positioned, and increasingly agile organization in order to have a stronger relationship with our customers and build value-creating opportunities for our shareholders. Under those terms, I'm trying to be the catalyst of the change and modernization in construction, we decided, as a first step, to open an innovation department. We want to change the way people build, especially in Latin America, to a more practical, more industrial, an automated way. For instance, in the building systems division, our innovative product lines now offer prefabricated building materials which are more flexible and show less breakage. We've been moving from corrugated sheets to flat panels for lightweight building systems, where we clearly see that the industry is moving too. I am happy to report that there has been a high level of acceptance from our customers and final users. We're confident that these value-added products will give us a competitive advantage. The company needs to take the lead in the geographies where we have presence and to transition from a traditional-oriented construction industry into new lightweight construction systems. Let me point out that innovation has always been part of our strategy and culture. We are the largest fiber cement producer in Latin America, and we are one out of the three companies worldwide that runs on three technology platforms. And we've been able to offer innovative products to one of the largest construction markets, which is the U.S. The second step that we're taking is that in March, we launched an internal control project, which focuses on strengthening Alimentia's corporate governance and ensuring that our processes and decisions are in accordance with the company's respectability parameters. The benefits that come along are significant, as this will enable us to have a timely and broader visibility in all transactions and remain agile in terms of decision-making while easily adapting in a constantly evolving environment. And third, the third step would be Alimentia, what we call Alimentia 2.0, which is a transitional stage to become a multi-product company, leveraging our geographical coverage and commercial capabilities, capturing value from innovation and digitalization trends. So now, moving along to the results of the period, the first quarter was a very successful quarter for the company, as our growth level compared to 2016 was significant, and the integration of Giant into Elementia is evolving as planned. Once again, Elementia posted double-digit growth in both EBITDA and the operating line. These results were driven by the performance of the cement and metal product divisions. However, it pleases me to say that the building system division continued its upturn, which began in the fourth quarter of 2016. Going further in depth on each division's performance and main highlights for the quarter, I would like to start with the cement division. In the Mexican operations, we had another consecutive quarter of strong results. Revenues increased by 33%, while EBITDA rose by 26% compared to first quarter 16. These results were achieved despite an increase in the company's costs, mainly derived from higher electricity. The kilowatt rate in March 2017 was 24% higher than December 2016 and 65% higher than in March 2016. The strong EBITDA generation was, once again, was mainly due to a higher average sales price. We believe this price trend may continue as demand remains strong and the industry hasn't recovered its lost value since 2013. Bear in mind that Mexico remains one of the lowest pricing in all the Americas. We remain focused on the self-construction segment, which has proven to be more resilient. Regarding the Tula project in Hidalgo, it remains on track, both in budget and schedule. We expect that operations to start up by third quarter 2017, according to the original plan. So far, there have been no delays or incidents that would hamper the successful progress of this capacity expansion. In fact, during the quarter, we started the grinding operations, so when the clinker production would begin with the plant, will be partially set. This is one of the reasons for the EBITDA margin decline during the quarter as expected. Moving now to the U.S. cement operations, as expected and as part of the plan, Giant reported a roughly break-even EBITDA due to seasonality. Nevertheless, I would like to stress that thanks to our effective management of operations in the acquisitions, we were able to significantly reduce the losses that Giant has been reporting in previous years. Compared to first quarter 16, which reported a loss of $36 million EBITDA, the first quarter 17 reports a loss of only $7 million. Some of the operating strategies and factors that contributed to these results were, first, we continued with the price increase strategy. Second, we began to recover some of our lost clients. Third, we began to implement and make sure and make use of the maintenance capex aimed to bring back the assets to the industry standards, and most importantly, there has been no need to increase the capex set since the beginning. And last but not least, we're being extremely careful in terms of operating efficiency, therefore all maintenance shutdowns were programmed in advance. The PMI is going according to plan. As a result, we are already showing positive results, and as we have mentioned before, we expect to continue showing improvements throughout the year. Moving on, the metal product division, it registered a 27% increase in EBITDA, and revenues were up 28%, thanks to our strategic focus on higher value-added products and cost-cutting initiatives that helped improve metal yields, which offset the increase in electricity and natural gas prices. This year, We will continue to focus on innovation, aiming new value-added products while expanding volumes on fittings and air conditioning, take advantage of our strong brand and distribution channels, and implement additional cost reduction initiatives to further improve our EBITDA per ton ratio. Finally, turning to the Building Systems division, it pleases me to say that we continue to, slowly but steady, experience the 180-degree change that we've been working towards. As we've said before, in third quarter 2016, we hit the bottom in this division, and in the fourth quarter 16, we began to see an upturn by reporting double-digit growth, and 2017 will continue to show positive results. First quarter 17, we had an increase of 30% in revenues and 9% in EBITDA, mainly driven largely by the strong performance in the U.S. operations. Going further in depth by region, in the U.S., and taking advantage of the market performance, we have already begun the plan and CapEx to reopen the idle Indiana facility. We started to ship already products from the other two facilities to the Indiana region, so when the facility starts back up operations, it will be partially allocated. As planned, this has affected our operating margins. Nevertheless, the benefits obtained in the medium term overweight the downside, as it enabled us to have a solid client base in Indiana already built by the time the plant reopened in first quarter 18. In Mexico, we've been able to successfully implement the restructuring plan developed along with BTG, the Boston Consulting Group, which is focused on a go-to-market strategy and widening the division's geographic coverage in roofing and water solutions. In Central America, we've been taking advantage of our expanded production capacity derived from the division's restructuring and automation process implemented last year by exporting to the U.S. In the Andean region, we faced few challenges. In Peru, despite we were having strong growth, this was set back due to the floods presented since March. Moreover, Bolivia's political instability and Ecuador's lack of construction projects and Colombia's economic slowdown due to an increase to 19% from 16% in VAT affected the demand in all of these countries. Nevertheless, there are several initiatives that help offset these challenges, such as launching of new products with new technologies that has already shown good acceptance from our customers, doubled our water tank operations, and started plastic roofing operations in Colombia, and the startup of the water tanks operation in Central America. All of them show better than expected starts. We are very optimistic for the building systems in 2017. The implementation of the overall strategy developed along with BCG and the structural changes with the company has allowed us to have a clear vision of the future. Now, more than ever, we know where we want to go, our focus, and how we will get there. With the help of our corporate strategy, the power of oneness, we will move towards excellence and become an important instrument of change in the communities we serve. The figures discussed today reflect the alignment of all efforts to one strategy, focusing on bringing together all the acquisitions, all the geographies, and all three divisions into one culture and one common goal, supported by centralized back-office services with strong financial discipline and a focus on profitability. We will continue to take the steps necessary to fully execute our power of oneness strategy. Looking into 2017, we continue to see exciting opportunities to invest for the future and to do even more for our customers and shareholders, as well as continue to support the essential components of the construction value chain. Our M&A strategy going forward will continue to focus on strengthening market positions across all our businesses divisions, giving preference to countries where we already have operations and that will comply with the company's strategic and financial parameters. For the time being, we will concentrate on digesting Giant's acquisition and the startup of the cement capacity expansion in Mexico. I believe Elementia has the right team, culture, technologies, and competitive advantages to, once again, excel in the construction business. I will turn now the call over to Juan Francisco Sánchez Kramer for a further detail of our financials. Juan Francisco, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fernando, and thank you all for being here with us today. Let me start with the profit and loss statement. In the first quarter of 2017, Elementia consolidated revenues increased 52% year-over-year, reaching $6.5 billion, supported by growth in all three divisions. A 160% in the cement division, 30% in the metal products division, and 28% in building system division. On a pro forma basis, this is including U.S. cement, revenues grew by 24% during the quarter. In terms of revenues by destiny, the breakdown is as follows. 44% in Mexico, 36% in the U.S., 13% in South America, 5% in Central America, and the remaining 2% in other countries. Despite the challenges presented during the quarter, such as high economic volatility and political tensions, Elementia continued its EBITDA growth trend, reporting an increase of 22% year-over-year, reaching $952 million in the first quarter. This result is mainly due to management's ability to properly execute each division's strategies and the corporate strategy that unites them. Supported by the strong brand positioning, cross-selling efforts, innovation, and M&A activities. On a pro forma basis, again including the U.S. cement, EBITDA grew 28% during the quarter. Now let me go into further detail on the performance of each division. The Mexican operations for the cement division reported revenues of $908 million for the quarter, which is 33% above the same quarter last year. The division revenues benefited from higher average sales price and incremental volume coming from the startup of grinding operations as part of the ramp-up of the expansion project. Additionally, EBITDA for the first quarter was $335 million, up 26% year-over-year. On the other hand, EBITDA margin for the quarter was 37%, thanks to the efficiencies which partially offset the increase in electricity and fuel costs, which were 24% and 18% higher than December 2016, respectively. And the effect of the startup of the aforementioned grinding operations, which has an impact on margins, given that we are using clinker from third parties. Now, for the U.S. operations on the cement division, on a pro forma basis, the division results for the first quarter reported a 10% decrease in sales, mainly because of the mine demand efforts that we have already started, which turned in less volume available, and less alternative fuels operations accordingly. We reported a $7 million loss in EBITDA, compared with a $36 million loss in the same period last year. The first quarter is always the lowest for this operation, showing seasonality impact through the year. As you can see, there is no doubt that our efforts to implement the highly detailed value-generating roadmap developed along with Pinion Company has been the right approach. Benefits from Giant's turnaround will continue to be seen throughout 2017 and the following years. On to metal products, this division reached $2.3 billion in revenues, up 28% compared to the first quarter 16. Moreover, it also reported a double-digit growth in EBITDA of 27%, reaching $355 million, driven by improvements in conversion costs coming from investments made, a strict control of operating expenses, and focus on higher value products. As we've mentioned before, the division focused on the generation of EBITDA per ton, since revenue prices are linked to the international reference pricing of copper. This international reference price increased 26% quarter over quarter from $2.11 per pound in the first quarter 16 to $2.65 per pound in this quarter. Finally, the building system division reported revenues of $2.34 billion in the first quarter, which represents an increase of 30% year-over-year. The division's upturn was due to the extraordinary performance in the U.S., where demand continues to be strong and our strategy is taking root. That, in addition to the good performance in the Central America region, mainly from exports to the U.S., offset the low performance in the Andean region, which was impacted by a 3% increase in VAT in Colombia, which created a temporary consumption reduction in the country. We expect this impact will begin to ease during the third quarter of the year. In terms of EBITDA, this division registered $254 million, 9% higher than in the first quarter 16. While EBITDA margin was affected by the increase in energy costs across the nine countries and the different margin from each of the regions. I would like to add that the U.S. fiber cement market continues to report positive performance coming from the multifamily segment in the south and southeast region, which indicates an increased demand for lightweight construction systems. And I am also glad to report that the investments made for water tanks and plastic roofing in the Andean region and Central America show better than expected start. Moving on to cost, consolidated cost of goods sold for the first quarter increased 61% to $5.03 billion. This was mainly due to the effect of Giant. Excluding Giant's effect, the increase was 31%, mainly due to the increase of electricity and natural gas costs. In terms of consolidated EBITDA, the company reached $952 million in the first quarter, up 22% compared to the $778 million of the first quarter 16. In a pro forma basis, including Giant figures in the first quarter 16, EBITDA grew 35%. The division represented 34%, the metal products division represented 36%, and the building system division represented 30%. We expect that the cement division will become more relevant as the year goes by, and will reflect figures from both capacity increase in Mexico and Giant's integration. Lastly, Elementia reported a net loss of $15 million for the first quarter 17, a decrease of $166 million compared to the last year, $151 million. This decline was mainly due to the positive foreign exchange effect in financial costs and the related effect in tax. Turning now to the balance sheet, cash and cash equivalents reached $3.45 billion, a decrease of $462 million compared to the year-end 2016, mainly due to the investments totaling $658 million, out of which $346 million were for the cement installed capacity expansion in Mexico and $312 million for organic capex that includes maintenance and bolt-on expansions in the quarter. By the way, the cement capacity expansion in Mexico is performing according to plan in both budget and schedule, And as Fernando mentioned, we expect the startup to be done during the third quarter of this year. It is also important to highlight that maintenance already includes the CapEx plan for Giant to bring back the assets to industry standards. Elementia's debt position, which totaled $16.17 billion, increased mainly due to a provision of the ECA facility for $8.96 million to reach a total of $81.7 million to fund the cement capacity expansion in Mexico, a provision of a domestic revolving credit line for $1.8 million, mainly for working capital in the U.S. cement, and the partial payment of $2.9 million to the ECA facility that we have with HSBC. However, I would like to mention that in the first quarter 17, we reported a foreign exchange gain partially coming from the impact of Mexican peso versus the U.S. dollar exchange rate fluctuation on our dollar-denominated portion of the debt. As we mentioned, since we completed the acquisition of Giant, we used the credit line at elementary level to reach, but we have changed that to a long-term financial position. This is in line with our financial discipline and strong balance sheet, aiming for an investment grade from rating agencies. We have been analyzing options, and we believe that within the following months we will set a new credit facility, which main use of proceeds will be to prepay this bridge. The main idea is to improve the maturity profile, continue with the currency equilibrium, while keeping competitive rates. In line with the company's strategy of keeping a solid and flexible balance sheet, net debt to last 12 months EBITDA ratio, including Giant pro forma, was 2.94 times, and interest coverage was 4.17 times, both in line with the covenant set by the financial institution. December 2016 represented our peak in terms of net debt to EBITDA, and as you can see, this has been able to significantly decrease in the first quarter this year. This impact is due to good operating results, but also to the recovery in working capital, mainly coming from inventory, and the impact of the currency exchange rate on our dollar-denominated portion of the debt. Although there is an increase in the absolute value by the inclusion of Giant when compared to September 2016, inventory has been reduced in $228 million since December 2016 by the discipline throughout all divisions. We will continue this effort until reaching optimal levels. It is noteworthy mentioning that in the metal product division, where raw material increased 24% year over year, we managed to reduce inventory volume and value. The same consideration applies to building systems, despite the start of rotating molding and plastic roofing operations in Colombia, Peru, El Salvador, and Costa Rica. We managed to reduce inventory. Lastly, in terms of cash flow, free cash flow before CapEx totaled $861 million for the first quarter 2017, which is equivalent to 90% of the EBITDA generation. Again, this was possible to cash flow generation through working capital, which roughly compensated interest and tax rates. According to this performance, we will continue with our deleveraging objective, aiming to get back to 2x net debt to EBITDA ratio. With this, I conclude my presentation. Thank you for your attention. I'm now going to turn the call back to the operator for Q&A. Please, operator.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone now. Our first question will come from Mauricio Serna, UBS.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on the results. Just a couple of things. Maybe if you could tell us, provide us a little bit of color on the pricing that you took or that we saw in local currency, both in Mexico and U.S. cement operations. And also you could provide, you know, it seems like we've already seen already seeing improvements in giant operations given the EBITDA figures that you provided. So just want to get a little more color on what are the targets for this year regarding, you know, how much, like maybe the yearly EBITDA margin that you want to achieve, and you know, if do you still keep this guidance for the year? Thank you.
Thank you, Mauricio. Let me start with Mexico. As we mentioned, for the quarter we saw another price increase. We believe that this trend might continue given several factors. For one, demand continued to be strong. For second, the pricing in Mexico remains one of the lowest in all Latin America, in all the Americas, in fact. And third, there has been investments done not only by us, but for other players that have a big impact of dollars. So the industry is aiming to recover value. As we mentioned also, the startup of the capacity expansion is planned for the third quarter this year, and we are already preparing the market to allocate this volume with the startup of the green team operations. Again, according to our expectations, margins are decreasing because of these green team operations. It is likely that they will go a little bit further down and then back up, aiming to go back to the levels of the previous year. Moving on to the U.S., Giant integration has been or is going according to plan. We are pleased with the progress that we have done. The first quarter is an example. We improved by more than 30 million pesos its EBITDA generation. It is a very seasonally affected operation, mainly on the northern operations. Again, we are moving on with the CapEx and the plan that we set to bring back the assets to industry standards. Again, we are pleased with the way it is going. Our expectations for the rest of the year is demand will continue growing as it has in the previous years, as well as pricing. I don't know if this completes your question.
Yeah, it's very helpful. I mean, I just wanted to confirm, and with regards to the pricing that we've seen in both markets, I mean, from what I've been hearing on about the industry, it seems like Mexico's first quarter on a yearly basis, the prices were up high teens. I just want to know if this was also the case with you and U.S. More in the mid-single digits. And also, maybe if you could comment a little bit on how is the capacity utilization evolving in the Giant, because I know one of the targets was to bring it back to the levels of the industry.
Sure. Regarding prices in Mexico, the announce was in the high teens. As you know, not all the impact is reflected from day one. And also it is important to mention that the way that we pass the price increase to the market is basically waiting to for the price to be accepted, and then we launch it with no withdrawals. So for us, in the quarter, it was lesser than that, but it will take shape in the following quarter. In the U.S., the pricing is moving on in a lesser steep way, but we consider that the expectations for a 3-4% increase during the year is still there. Regarding capacity utilization, there have been no relevant changes in the U.S. operations, given that we have already begun with the maintenance outages that have to be done to bring back the assets to par. So during the first quarter, we even show lesser volume in the U.S. because of this.
Okay, makes sense. Makes sense. Thanks a lot for the call, and congratulations again on the results.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Juan Tavera, Citi.
Hi, thank you. Good morning, everyone. So I guess maybe just touch on the U.S. cement division again, just to understand what drove you breaking even in EBITDA. Were there any other non-recurring costs embedded in this quarter on that asset? If maybe also you could give us a view of how to expect seasonality in the coming quarters. I know you mentioned the first quarter is the worst quarter, but I'm curious if some of this maintenance downtime extends into the second quarter and how we should think about the upcoming quarters on seasonality. And then last is maybe on Mexico, if you can just give us an update. Assuming the startup of that expansion project in the third quarter of this year, how much incremental volume should we expect this year from that operation? Thank you.
Thank you, Juan. I'm not sure I understood your first question, so I will address the second and the third, and then I will ask you to please rephrase your first question. So regarding seasonality in the U.S., the first quarter is always the lowest in terms of volume, mainly affected by winter and snow. This year, we have a mild winter, so it is not one of the main reasons for lower volume. The main reason for lower volume, as I mentioned, is the outage. Then the highest month or quarters in terms of demand are the third and the fourth, and the fourth is the second worst. So we will be showing this performance during the year. Again, the peak will be the third quarter. Going to the Mexico capacity increase, as you know, it is 1.5 million tons of capacity that we are adding. Of course, we are not planning to allocate the full volume within this year. But what we are already doing is grinding clinker from third parties. So when the plant starts operation, the clinker production starts, it will be partially allocated. Not trying to give you specific number, you can expect that some similar trend of what we did in the Palmar facility back in 2013, it is what you can expect that we will be doing this time. Also, it is important to mention that we will keep on with our strategy, that is roughly quality, premium brand, and higher quartile of price.
Okay, thanks there. Just to follow up on and rephrasing the first question, I guess my question was more on when I compared to this last quarter in terms of what you generated out of the U.S. cement division, you know, revenues were higher this time around, but you were break even on the EBITDA instead of actually generating EBITDA. So I was curious on what was embedded there in costs. Were there non-recurring factors or anything else that even though the revenues were higher, you had a negative EBITDA?
Okay, clear now. Thank you, Juan. The main reason is the allocation of maintenance costs again because of the outages and electricity increase that partially affected our operations in the U.S. But the main reason is the cost of the outage.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Juan.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Cecilia Jimenez, Santander.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. It's mainly a follow-up on the U.S. side. Could you give us a little bit more color regarding the visa contraction and the operation in general in the U.S.? If I take a look of your footprint according to the installed capacity, I believe you should have, let's say, a small growth of 3.5% for this quarter. So I'm not sure where the beta contraction is coming, due to pricing or due to margin contraction. And if you could give us some color there. And also, when do you expect to see a turnaround point in the beta operation in order to achieve the guidance you have given for this year? That would be it. Thanks.
Thank you, Cecilia. In the U.S., for the building systems operation, the main change on the margin that we are showing is because we are preparing again the market for the start-up of the idle facility in Indiana. As we mentioned, we have already reached capacity utilization levels that has accelerated the plan to reopen this facility. What we are doing in order to prepare the market is send products from the other two facilities to the Indiana region, which implies a higher logistic cost. Also, since we already begun with the CapEx required for the reopening of the facility, we are already also beginning with the pre-operative expenses. So those are the main reasons.
Just to make sure I said it correctly, I was particularly mentioning the U.S. cement division, and the volumes I was referring to was the U.S. cement rather than the building system, just to have it clear.
Thank you, Cecilia, for the clarification. So
sorry, I should have started saying that.
So I was talking about building systems. Now, going to cement, as we mentioned, we show lesser volume, or we sell lesser volume than the previous year because of the outages. And also, the cost, the operating cost in the U.S. was affected by these same outages. Now, in terms of demand, and the source is the Portland Cement Association, the expectation is that demand will continue to grow at about 4 to 5% per year from 2017 all the way to 2022. That is CAGR, so it might be different in a yearly basis. But that is what we are seeing and expecting. Now, the evolution on regaining customers is going very good. We are pleased with the progress. So everything is going, I would say, according to plan.
Is it reasonable to expect an EBITDA margin in the U.S. of mid-teens for this year as a whole after what you have seen so far?
I mean, it will all depend on the evolution and the risk, I mean, the successful benefits from the outages that we are doing. So, I mean, the expectation might be a little bit higher than that, but I would say in a reasonable basis, I mean, high teens will be reasonable.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Hernan Kuzma, MetLife.
Hello. Thank you for taking my questions. I have actually two questions, both regarding the leverage level. So the first one would be, where do you expect your level of debt and leverage to be by year end, and how would you reach that number? Also, regarding the target of 2x net debt to EBITDA, I would like to know if you expect to reach that through reduction of debt or an improvement in EBITDA or a mix of both.
Sure. Thank you for your question, Hernan. On the leverage position, as you've seen, we have already decreased from the last quarter last year. This is mainly due to strong EBITDA generation, cash flow from working capital, mainly inventory, and of course there is a positive variation in terms of currency exchange. For year end, the expectation is that it will continue going down, and in the worst case scenario, it will take us about 2 years to get back to the 2.0 or below that. Again, that is worst case scenario. The way that we will do it is operating results. We are, as I mentioned, what we are planning to do is to replace the short-term debt that we have now with a longer term, but there is no plan so far to prepay other portions of the debt.
Okay, thank you. And connected to that, and also connected to your plans for M&A that you mentioned during the remarks, would you like to see a leverage ratio reaching 2x, for example, your goal before, again, looking for growth opportunities, or it will depend mostly on finding the right opportunity regardless of the level of leverage?
That will be the ideal world. But as you know, M&A opportunities are or show not in the best timing always. So as Fernando mentioned, for the time being, we are focused on digesting the Giant acquisition and the allocation of Tula expansion in cement in Mexico. There is no M&A or relevant M&A in the short term that we are foreseeing, but if a good opportunity shows, we certainly will move on, again, without over-leveraging. So the most likely scenario is that we do a combination of leverage and equity and use of cash.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Vanessa Forga from Credit Suisse.
Yes, thank you. Hi, good morning. My question is regarding Mexico cement. I'm not sure if I missed this because you maybe mentioned in the first part of the call, but I was wondering if you can give us some details on what were the trends in volumes and prices for cement in Mexico in the first quarter? Thank you.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you for your question. Sure. So volume-wise, we are already showing volume increase because of the start of the grinding operations in order to prepare the market. In a nutshell, what we are doing is buying clinker from third parties, grinding it and sell it, with our brand, of course. So when we start the clinker operation from the capacity expansion that we are doing, this facility will be partially allocated since the beginning. That is the main idea. In terms of pricing, we are already also showing price increase, probably in a lower level than the rest of the industry, because the way that we do price increases is wait for the price increase to be set in the market and then move on. So we will be seeing a part of this price increase during the second quarter also.
Okay, that's very useful, Juan. And also, regarding the work that you're doing to start to restart operations in the facility of Alura that was closed, can you tell us what was the utilization that you had as of the fourth quarter or during 2016 of the other facilities?
Sure. Probably just another word on cement in Mexico. It's important to mention that this grinding operation is lowering the EBITDA margin. Now, moving on to the idle Indiana facility in the U.S. for building systems, the capacity utilization on the other two facilities was already higher than 80%. So it has already reached the levels that we wanted to see in order to reopen India. So in this first quarter is already higher than that because of a combination of this preparation of the market, but also from incremental volumes from local or the regions that these facilities cover in a normal way. It is important also to mention that, as you know, we also send products from Central America to the U.S. market. This volume has also been increasing. So we are very happy with the U.S. performance.
Yes. Okay. No, that sounds great. And can you tell us when you expect that facility to start operations? And how long could the ramp-up be for it to get to its potential in terms of margins?
Sure. I mean, the expectation is that this facility will open or will start commercial operations within the first quarter of 2018. And then the expectation is that it will take us about 2 years, probably at least it's a little bit less than that, with about 2 years to complete the ramp up.
Okay, that's great. Thank you, Juan.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Pablo Alcalde, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch.
Hi. I was wondering if you can share how are you seeing the competitive landscape in the U.S. building system division, especially from James Hardie. It seems that he won, like, market share. So I just want to check how are you seeing the competitive landscape there.
Thank you, Pablo, for your question. I mean, what I can tell you regarding our operations is we have been expanding the volume that we saw. So in our perception, yes, we have gained market share. The way that we have been doing is by following the detailed planning strategy that it is based on a concept that is called go-to-market. And in the third quarter last year, we took the step that was planned for that time frame, and we begin selling to large builders. This piece of the strategy is taking root, and it is proving to be the right approach. We are moving on again with the planned strategy, and once that we reach the milestones that we have set, we will take the following steps.
OK, Okay, perfect. And another question on pricing in the U.S. cement. It seems that the industry grew around 2.2% sequentially. I just wondering if you grow on the same magnitude like that?
I mean, there is, as you know, there is several regions within the U.S. Not all operations perform in the same way. There is very different dynamics in the coast, both east and west, than in the central regions. So probably the figures that you are seeing are as the average of the country. For the East Coast, that is the region that we are focused, there was a variation in pricing that is a little bit below that, but the expectation is that it will continue to move during the year. Now, you have to also bear in mind that our plan includes bringing our prices to the industry level. So that might play in additional pricing for ourselves.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Pablo Creo, BBVA.
Thank you. I'd just like to ask if you could offer a little bit more color on what your targets for the end of the year and in net debt levels are, and if you could also provide a little bit more information. I know it's asking a lot, but with the prices in for Cementos Fortaleza as well as the volume increase that you had for the quarter and how you see them for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me go for the first question, that is the if we have a target, a specific target for net debt to EBITDA. I mean, the straight answer is there is no specific figure, but certainly the target is to continue lowering it and getting closer to the 2x that is our final target or below that. For this year, certainly we see it around 2.5, but again, it is not a set target. In terms of the cement capacity expansion in Mexico, as we mentioned, we already started the greening operation, so when the facility starts up, it is partially allocated. The last time that we did a greenfield, that is the Palmar facility, it took us a little bit less than 2 years to complete the ramp up to 100% capacity utilization. For this time, we are aiming for some 2 to 2.5 years, so you can look back on volumes for 2013, and you will have a very clear picture of what we are trying to do.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Luis de la Torre, Morgan Stanley.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I think you already answered most of my questions. I just want to make sure I understood something correctly. I think you said the 9% increase in EBITDA in the building system division was mostly attributed to the U.S. So if you could just confirm that I heard that correctly. Thank you.
Thank you, Luis. Yes, I mean, in absolute figures, yes, it is mainly driven by the performance of the U.S. Also, it is important to highlight that Central America and the Mexican operations are also performing very good, and the region that was affected in a negative way was the Andean region, and this was mainly because of the tax increase in the VAT for all populations. So it kind of created a constraint on purchasing power that is being reflected on demand.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Luis.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Aaron Holzberg, Santander.
Yes, good afternoon. Just a question about your... Hello?
Hello, Aaron. Yes, we hear you.
Great. Just a question about your debt. I noticed in dollars, your net, your both your gross and your net debt were up about $40 million. And I'm trying to figure out why. I mean, if I look at your peso debt and appreciating 11%, that explains about $15 million of it. Is there a cash outflow I'm not seeing?
Let me walk you through. The debt valuation was mainly because we used part of the ECA facility that we have with Santander, we took from that $8.9 million. Then we also recognized almost $2 million debt from a domestic facility in the U.S. for working capital of Giant. And also we paid almost $3 million on the ECA facility that we have with HSBC.
Okay, but again, I'm trying to explain your debt in dollars went up from $821 million to $864 million.
Oh, probably you are comparing with September, or you are comparing with December?
December.
No, I mean the rest of the variation comes from currency fluctuation. There is nothing more.
Okay, well, I'd like to discuss this offline later.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions in the queue, so I'd like to turn this conference back to Mr. Ruiz Jack for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. I would like to conclude by highlighting the fact that our efforts of strengthening our corporate governance and our focus on value creation has enabled Elementia to become a more institutional, organized, and even more structural entity. I see a great future for Elementia, and I can assure you that the power of one strategy will continue to deliver our expected and desired performance. So, once again, thank you for all your interest in Elementia, and have a nice rest of the day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, this conference is now concluded. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.